Okay, good morning, everybody. My name's Eamon Kelly.
My name is William Derry.
And today we're going to discuss the book by Daryl Huff called How to Lie with Statistics. And so so first impressions of the book, Will, what did you think of it?
So far it's been good. I think that the introduction set up the format in which you wanted to do the book. I like how the use of illustration is used throughout the book. And I think that he pulls from so many different other statisticians to form his opinion, which is also nice.
Yeah, I feel that the illustrations like totally help out, even though this is sort of like the most basic book that you can understand with language statistics. I mean, there's this book called What If? I can't remember the author's name, but he's basically explaining, you know, situations using physics, comics, and everything. And I really think that this is also, it's very similar, like using different examples, using these illustrations, like, for example, this guy is sitting down on a bench. You know, just basic illustrations like that. And now, the first thing that I like to... The first sentence in the introduction is what I actually like about this. There's a mighty lot of crime out there. And what he means by crime is lying with statistics, because people don't really understand that they're lying. And I also like the quote, "It misleads, yet it cannot be pinned on you." So you don't exactly know that they're lying, right?
Right.
Yeah. I remember throughout the entire first three chapters, the word that they use a lot is the word average, and that can be used in so many different ways, especially in this book. For example, you can tell somebody, oh, the average costs of living arrangements is this amount of dollars. And obviously, you can't really tell that's a lie because they're using actual money numbers and, like, the word average, and that can mislead you. And for example, I think at the very beginning of chapter 2, which is on page 27, let me just get to that really quick. You're talking about this one quote. This one quote right here. "More than likely, since we have agreed that for the purposes of the moment, you are a bit of a snob. You toss in casually that when telling friends about where you live." And so I think that that's really interesting, because you could be lying about where you live. You can be saying the average living person makes around this much money a year. And I think that's the most basic lie you can tell someone when you're living. And then just using a combination of mathematical terms, vocabulary like average, and then throwing in some random numbers, I think that's how Trump is very successful, because he keeps throwing in random numbers. Like, what are your thoughts on it?
Well, no, what you just said is exactly right. I think that the quote that you just brought up at the beginning of chapter 2 with unsure about where, if people really live in a certain place or they could be lying about it, is something he did early on in the book when he talked about the magazine cover of the average Yale man. He talked about the class of 24, and they were basically, he got down to the basis of how many of the actual members did they survey. Did they only survey the top 10%, the working class, or did they survey the people who are as successful or not successful? So I think that what he did also in chapter 2 to begin it was use a broad topic, but then he starts to dissect it as he goes on in the chapter.
I did notice something in that chapter about the Yale man, because I can't really find what chapter is. Sort of, that's like, the average Yale man, class of 24, Time magazine noted once that commenting on something in New York, some makes $25,111 a year. And then the next sentence is, "Well, good for him." And I think that, like, based on my own interpretation, that sounds like the book is tricked itself at first. Because it sounds like, because of course it's a lie, because the book is called How to Lie with Statistics, and that's obviously a lie based on the background information. And the next sentence is, "Well, that's good for him." And it's saying that something simple as that can trick you very easily. And then it goes into, like, so many pages of, like, about the history of how much of the average person Yale man makes. And I think that, like, it just shows you how very easily you can be tricked. And where I'm going with this is that, like, the entire structure of the book, I'm not really sure if I'm a fan of the way this book is structured, because it's not really written in the form of a guide, but it still writes ways and examples on lying. So it has this, but it has historical background of like why people choose to lie. But I'm not sure if that's my main problem with this book, because like the book is called How to Lie with Statistics, yet I expected this to be written in the form of a guide or like a sort of how-to book rather than just living stories. I mean, like, that's sort of my main problem with this book, because, you know, I figured that it should tell you any, not just tell you, while this is interesting information, I'm not sure it's the right kind of information, just to show you how people lie, but sort of that's just me. I mean, like,
no, I see, I hear what you're saying now. Now that I read more into the title, it is How to Lie with Statistics.
Mm-hmm.
So you think it would be a step-by-step guide on how to lie with statistics.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like with him, he's giving more of the background of it, more of the scientific idea of lying with statistics. Not so much the step-by-step, this is what you do, this is what you do from step 1 to step 20.
Yeah.
This is how you, execute this. So I think that the way the setup could definitely be changed. I do like how he includes pictures every once in a while.
Yeah.
The illustrations.
And now, out of all these four chapters, if you count the introduction, like which example do you think works well the best, or which example do you think that you were most intrigued by?
I think it was... the count 'em. He talked about pulling out a handful of beans and counting those up.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you something on the basis of if you take them all out and you count, you can find a proportion of how many beans are actually in it without having to actually count every single bean.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah, it's like the saying, don't count your chickens before they hatch.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why do you think that sort of intrigued you the most?
I think it's because of how simplistic it was.
Mm-hmm.
It was simple, but at the same time it described a larger idea, so I thought that it was really effective.
It's a way of showing you the whole line of statistics thing, it can be really small, as counting beans or just telling you how much it costs you to live in a house or something like that. I think that these illustrations also help with it, because it just shows this picture right here on page 19. The guy says good morning, and the guy that goes says, so they wonder what he means by that. Because now I think these guys could be interested in what these people are saying, and so they might be saying, what does he mean by, don't count your chickens until they hatch? Okay, sorry for that pause. Anyway, so what I was saying about the drawing, the guy says good morning, and then the second guy says, I wonder what he means by this. I think that this is really interesting, because it shows you that you could be tricked to an extreme and then realize that these people are lying to you and then be superstitious about every single thing you hear in your life. For example, there are three copies of my papers on my desk. And he was like, what does he mean by three copies? And they're like, well, there are three copies. What do you mean? I'm like, so you're lying to me using statistics. I'm like, no, there are three. I think that this also is a dangerous book to read, BB, because it can also send you into chaos, not exactly knowing the truth or being told that you're lying when actually they're not. It's just very, very, very confusing. And and this is only the first three chapters. There are still many chapters to dive into. I don't know if you feel the same way.
No, definitely. It can send you on a ride, a roller coaster.
Yeah.
Because at times you're like, well, then you start to contemplate your own life.
Like, what does it mean to live using math knowledge? Yeah.
So then you start asking yourself larger questions than the book is even asking.
Yeah. This book could be... even action. I'm not sure. So far I really enjoyed this book. I'm not really a fan of the structure, but I think it is a very interesting read. I think that I will enjoy this book because looking at myself, I'm not really a book fan. But showing that it takes a topic that I'm not really not the best of in school, and then shows you how you can lie using the math. Now, I think that this is really useful for my life, especially since I won't be going into a math major, but knowing that I'll be using statistics to lie in my life if I have to. So, same for you.
Yeah, definitely.
What are you hoping to major in college?
Probably journalism. So
probably journalism. Do you think that you'll be using that in journalism?
Well, definitely to, I guess, sway my readers at times.
Definitely to sway readers. Over 90% read this journalism project. And
yeah.
Then, I'll probably do the same thing when I'm producing a movie. Actually, you know what? Different movie websites, reviewers like Rotten Tomatoes and IMDb, there's a 6 out of 10 on this movie. There's a 93% of Rotten Tomatoes for for this particular movie, but also they're pretty truthful, which is also pretty deceiving. You know, for example, the movie Pixels got a 16%, and everybody agrees that it's a bad movie. I mean, but like, it's the same thing. You can't really tell if they're lying or not, or they're slightly offbeat. But yeah, I think that like this book is really interesting, and it shows, you know, both sides of the spectrum. You know, like the people giving the lie based on their knowledge, and people receiving the lie and how they take it. And so yeah, I can't wait to see how the, like, you know, the other examples that they give you. And I can't wait to see everybody at our next podcast next week. Once again, I'm Eamon.
Will.
And we will see you next week.